Some may say that the message I bring tonight is best suited to a Good Friday service or a convention like the one that is held at Walsham Le Willows. But my experience is that we don't come to Christ and recognize his sufferings just at Easter. It's a 24/7 experience to every believing Christian. And we're not like the Church of England or the Roman Catholic Church that have high days and holidays at particular seasons of the year. Christianity is and should be, as I say, a 7 days of the week experience. Our little text tonight is found in that first verse of chapter 4. I'll just read you the whole verse, but I want to concentrate just on one particular aspect of that verse, which reads, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Just that little, at the fore part of the verse, Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. It would be rather ludicrous tonight for me to say that we fully understand what our Lord and Saviour suffered in the flesh. Let me give you one or two examples. It would be equally ridiculous to go to a person who had been totally blind from birth and say, "I know exactly how you feel." You see, we all have our personal experiences regarding this life. Some the Lord chose to have a season of suffering and pain. And you may well have suffered in like manner. You may have suffered in like circumstances. But what that particular person is suffering right now, we can't honestly go to that person and say, "I know exactly how you feel." I mean, there's been certain ones in our congregation in recent months that have suffered severe pain, and Richard we think of instantly. And we can't, although we sympathise with what he's feeling and identify perhaps in some measure with how he is, and we remember him, of course, in prayer, but we can't personally know how much pain he's suffering. And we're amazed sometimes that he is suffering or he's bearing the pain with a cheerful countenance. And I feel tonight that in some small measure this may be due to our remembering him in prayer as he's suffering pain. And how ludicrous would it be tonight to visit someone who is near to death. And we visit them as they lay on their deathbed, knowing that they have only a short time left. How can we say, "I know exactly as you feel," because no one has ever experienced that hitherto? And how much more true this is of our Lord Jesus Christ tonight. We identify with his sufferings, yes. When we are first convicted by the Holy Spirit of our sins, we come under the guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit and through the ministry of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we flee to him because it's the only thing that we can know relief from that conviction of our sins. But we can't know how Christ suffered personally in the flesh for our sins. Let me just give you a few examples of what a wrench it must have been to God and to the Lord Jesus when he left his Father's bosom in glory and came and was born miraculously, yes, of his mother Mary, that we can't feel the wrench that neither God felt nor the Lord Jesus Christ felt. We read that, yes, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself. But we can't personally tonight realize how much he suffered in the flesh. And we see that before his birth, he was rejected by society. There was no room in the inn. He must have felt in the womb that here was his first rejection by society. And after his birth, we read in the scriptures that Joseph and Mary, being warned beforehand, fled into Egypt because of the wrath of King Herod, who had heard, by the way, that there had been born into Israel a king of the Jews. And so he sent out a decree that all male children under 2 years old were to be slaughtered, and how the providence of God overrid his decree, and they were forewarned and fled when they escaped this terrible decree from Herod. If we fast forward now and we think at the beginning of our Lord's ministry, we read, I think it is in Luke chapter 2, where after his baptism, he was carried away by the Spirit, and he spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. We can't understand, we can't begin to understand what our Lord went through at this particular time. But what we can understand is that he went through all the temptations of Satan, yes, to vindicate his own person as a sinless person, not yielding to any of the temptations that he endured in the wilderness. And he went 40 days and 40 nights without food or drink. How well he may have said to his disciples at another time, I have food and drink that ye know not of. And then on various other occasions, he was threatened with being stoned to death. He also suffered the contradiction of sinners. And then we come to his awful experience in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he groaned within himself and he shed, as it were, great drops of blood. We can't begin to understand how much it cost our Saviour to redeem us from the jaws of hell and to bring us into the family of God, to redeem us from the wrath that is to come. But what a wonderful person our Lord and Saviour is. We read in the garden that about the bitter cup, and how the awfulness of our sins was poured into that cup. You imagine just for my sins how much, how bitter that cup must have been. But when you take the multitude of sins of the whole church whom he came to redeem, how bitter that cup must have been to his lips and to his body. And then after the experience of Gethsemane, he was led away to the judgment hall. I wonder how he felt when Barabbas was deemed to be released and he was judged just like Barabbas would have been, who was an awful criminal. And this is just how our Lord Jesus Christ was judged in the judgment hall. First, he was judged by the spiritual leaders of the day, and then he was led into the judgment hall by the civil and judged by the civil authorities. What a wonderful Saviour we have tonight. How awful he must have felt when he heard that he had been condemned to death. Well, some may argue, I'm not saying any here would tonight, but some unbelievers might argue and say, because he was not only the Son of Man, but also the Son of God, there was some mystical way in which God absolved him from any pain and from any suffering. But I believe tonight we have the answer in our text, where we read, Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Well, let us just pause for a moment. We've got several rose bushes at home in the garden, and when you're working round them, you have to be very, very careful. Because if the weather is warm, you've got short sleeves on, perhaps, and some of us might be mad enough to be wearing shorts. But you know, if you catch one of them rose prongs, as they say in Suffolk, you hully feel it. And you know, that might be a day or two before the pain start to go down. And there's another little instance. On the round, I used to go up several people's paths. No two were alike. You might get on a dark morning, if your torch had gone dim, you might get a shrub or something after there'd been a rain or a frost or even snow. Swack you in the face when you had a handful of empty milk bottles, and not a very pleasant experience. But you see, they're minute things when we consider what our Lord Jesus suffered for us in the flesh. And then I used to go up various paths, and some were pea shingle drives, and you know how it is, a little pebble somehow works its way into your shoe. And you know, you feel it, don't you? You're sensitive to it. Whatever little pain we endure, I used to think to myself, well, when I get to so-and-so, I shall have to stop and get that out. But you seem to carry on, and that don't get any better. And then that work round your shoe to one part, and you think, oh, the latch has popped out again. But after a few minutes, there it is again. And do you know what? There's a lot of things in everyday life that you can identify with gospel witness, really. You know, we've all got our sensitivities, haven't we? And we're all cowards when that comes to addressing the issues that God would have us address regarding the proclamation of the gospel unto others. We need, in the day in which we live, I believe, to get alongside people. Let them get to know us, and us get to know them. We don't have to run the way they run, or live the way they live. But we do need to get alongside them. Well, how is it tonight that we can't say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I know exactly how you feel? And yet, in one of these verses, I believe, verse 13 of our chapter, it says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. And I don't know about you, but there have been instances in my Christian life when I spoke to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes you have to endure condemnation for it. Sometimes you're persecuted for what you say. Sometimes, you know, you're contradicted in the manner and way in which you speak of our dear Lord Jesus Christ to others. Well, I don't know about you, but afterwards, it's been a very refreshing experience, and the joy that you feel from speaking a word for Jesus is quite full. And this is perhaps what Peter is trying to relate to here in the verse about our sufferings for Christ. Have you experienced it yourselves? I'm sure you have from time to time, perhaps with someone at work, someone in the family, someone out in the street, wherever our paths cross, where God gives the opportunity, I feel that we ought to grasp it, which so often we fail to do, but we ought to show others of whose we are and whom we serve, and witness a good confession of faith to those particularly that are without the fold. Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. We can't begin to know nor understand how much he suffered, except how the scriptures describe it. I mean, that's why I read Isaiah 53 to give us an indication. It was prophesied by Isaiah, I believe it was about 700 years before the birth of Christ. Isaiah prophesied of how our Lord would suffer. But as I say, don't ever let anyone say to you, I know exactly how you feel. And we can't, in all honesty, say to our Lord Jesus Christ how he suffered for us. But we do know by faith, suffer he did, and we know the reason why he suffered for us each one. And we, as I said, in the when we come under the conviction of sin, we're led by the Holy Spirit to flee to Jesus, the only avenue open to us as we come by faith to confess our sins and to acknowledge what our Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us. We identify with his suffering, but we don't know exactly how much he suffered in the flesh for us. And you know, when he was nailed to the cross, our sins were nailed to the cross with him. And when we think of the nails that were used in those days, they were something more like a bolt rather than a 6-inch nail. And dear me, what a thing it was for our blessed Lord to suffer in that way. He must have felt the nails so cruelly pierce his skin right through to the other side and into the wood and held him in place. What an awful death he suffered. What a slow and lingering death he suffered. And what a cruel, one of the cruelest ways in the day in which he lived for man to die. But die he did, and he died to save us from our sins. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, it says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Well, that's just a few thoughts about how our Lord and Saviour died on the cross for our sins. I hope that these few thoughts tonight will be a blessing to you. And although we can't honestly say that we know how much he suffered, we identify ourselves with that which he did suffer. And we live, and we witness, and we work, and we walk with our Lord day by day, and we identify ourselves because he did suffer. We identify with him because he suffered for us each one. All those that are the bride of his church, and he the sovereign head, we bless him that he was the one that could redeem us. He was the one that could shed his precious blood on such a cruel cross, because in all his suffering he knew no sin. And he that knew no sin was made to be sin for us. What a blessed Saviour we have tonight. Let us rejoice in him and be glad that we're so privileged to know him personally. And may we, in the days to come, be permitted not only to serve him more fervently, but to love him more dearly, and to praise his great and wonderful name, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.